Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast, the last Tech Guy podcast from the old TWiT cottage. Episode 790, recorded July 24th, 2011. Enjoy. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, saying goodbye to the old Tech Guy Labs. And I'll tell you, we're just limping out of here. The tires are bald. The engine's knocking. We've got a stream of black smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe as we down the highway. The Tech Guy Labs. I literally had to reboot the system just a minute ago because you must know we're abandoning it for all new stuff. All new cameras, high-def cameras, 30 of them. Because I have this philosophy. Yeah, it's called cheap. It's so much cheaper to buy a $1,500 camcorder than it is to hire a camera operator. Those guys eat you out of house and home. So I apologize to all the camera operators out there, but we're doing this with locked down cameras, not camera operators. And in fact, I hate to say this, but you know, when you do a TV show, I've been doing TV for many, many years, two decades. When you do a TV show, it takes a lot of people to do it. You have a director, a technical director, a Chiron operator. You have producers. You have tape operators. You have shaders. You have camera operators. You have a floor director. You have, and that's just a few people. I counted on the last day of the TV show I did for Tech TV, the screensavers, 22 people behind the cameras. Two of us in front, 22 behind. So we've kind of flip-flopped the ratio in the new Tech Guy Labs. One guy does all of that. There's no camera operators. There's one guy who's the technical director, the Chiron operator, the tape operator, and the shader. He does the whole thing. He runs the lights. One guy or gal. And then there's usually more than a couple of people in front of the camera. So we flip-flopped the whole ratio. And again, that's only because I'm so cheap. That's really the reason. It's exciting. I hope you get a chance to see the new studios. If you're listening on the radio, next week we will sound exactly the same. That's one. That's one thing you can't really change that much. You know, if you sound okay, you sound okay. So the old gear, which we're not leaving behind, but we'll take with us, but it'll be kind of redundancy. It'll be extra stuff. The old standard definition cameras we use to do our video stuff. The microphone. I guess, well, I'm going to take this microphone because it's gold and it's a special microphone. You know, Bob Heil made me this microphone out of solid brass. He saw Rush Limbaugh had a gold microphone. He says, well, Leo, you have to have the same thing. So I guess I'll take the microphone. I'll take my headphones. But most of the rest of this stuff is going to stay here. And it's mad at me. It's not happy. I'm not going down quietly. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. Kyle, I'm trying to... Another thing not working is my call screening apparatus. So
Don, on line two.
You can pick him up. Dylan on line two, our first call of the day. Hi, Dylan.
Don.
I'm Don. I'm sorry. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
How are you?
I have a good luck in your movement to the new facility.
It should be a great movement.
Yes, Murphy always loves situations like
that. Oh, I'm just the tip of the iceberg. I got an email at 2 in the morning from my studio manager saying, we changed the network settings and none of the audio works anymore.
it's not surprising.
No, I'm prepared for this.
Okay.
It's a computer. Of course it's not going to work.
Well, just make sure you have lots of Valium and coffee.
That's not a good combination, I don't think. I think that they call that a speedball in the business.
Oh, okay. All right. I have a question about online storage. I use Lightroom 3, and I have approximately 3 to 4 terabytes of photos distributed among a mixture of external drives. And, of course, there's problems with them going bad. So I'm looking at using something like Amazon's S3 as a substitute for all of this and getting rid of the external drives with all of their associated problems. What I want to do is to use the S3 or its equivalent as a single hard drive. I want to upload the media cards onto storage, use Lightroom for post-processing, and I'm wondering about the use of Amazon's buckets for this, whether it's going to be prohibitively expensive to use this for moving data up and down as opposed to just storage. And I'm wondering about S3 versus some of the others like Dropbox.
Yeah, here's my suggestion is not to do that as your primary storage. I think you still want nearline storage to be a local hard drive. So I'm going to give you a few suggestions. First of all, your images are big. They're probably, depends on the camera you're using, 12 to 20 megabytes.
Yeah, I shoot everything in RAW.
Yeah, so they're huge images. And if you take, as I do, many thousands of images on every trip, we're talking, you know, probably a terabyte a week or more. And uploading that, it's not the cost. I mean, there is a cost, but it's also the time. And getting it back down is going to take a while. So here's what I suggest. This is kind of like the backup solution. First of all, and I've sent people to this before, my friend Peter Krog, who's a photographer, wrote a great book called The Digital Asset Management Book that is just, it's for photographers like you, Don. It's to solve these problems.
I have his books.
Oh, so you know about Peter. He's created a great website with the Library of Congress called dpbestflow.org. DP standing for digital photography, bestflow.org. And this is something, what you're talking about is something photographers called workflow. It's what happens after I take the picture. Where does the picture go? What do I do with it? Who, you know, where do I store it? And in my opinion, you want to have a hard drive, either internal or external, for the stuff you're working on right now in Lightroom. Now, Lightroom or Aperture or there are lots of programs that will do this, will keep a reference to an offline file. So you don't have to have all the files you're working offline. You'll still have the thumbnail. You'll know where that photograph is. My suggestion, and most photographers do this, is to have a large external drive, a Drobo, a RAID 5 array. You know what RAID 5 is?
Oh, yes. And that there's a problem with RAID 5. If the only controller goes bad, you've lost everything. So
but you just get a new controller or have a duplicate controller. RAID 5 is the idea is when a disk drives, you pop it out, put in a new one, and you don't lose a bit. And so that is a good suggestion for near term. Now, I'm not disagreeing with you for your offline storage. I think you're right. I think S3 is a good choice. Here's what I do. I have multiple stages of backups. I keep on my hard drive, if it's big enough, the photographs from the most recent trip, the ones I'm working on. I keep on an external hard drive all my photos. That's many, many terabytes. And you could, if it's a lot, you could put it on a Drobo or a RAID 5 network storage. I actually have a local drive that I keep it on. It's then backed up to a network-attached storage in my home. So now I have two copies. You know, one is online, one is nearline. And then the third copy, the offline storage, I do use S3, but I don't use it directly. I use it through a company called SmugMug. Do you know about SmugMug? SmugMug is it's like Flickr for pro photographers. It'll store your photos, allow you to sell them, but you can also upload RAWs, and it will store them to S3 for you. So it's a kind of a perfect solution. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. When you hear wind instruments, it could only be one thing. Scott Wilkinson is here. Big Wind from the West, we call him.
That's right.
he is the editor-in-chief of the Ultimate AV Magazine. Wait a minute. Stop. Hold the presses.
Hold those presses.
What happened?
Well, I actually chose that music, which is from the Renaissance Fair. It's the big fanfare when the Queen shows up, usually. But I chose that music today.
Scott, are you trying to tell us something?
No, not at all.
The Queen has arrived.
In this case, the King has arrived.
Yes.
No, you obviously have really big news. You're moving to a brand new studio. It's going to be really great. And so I wanted to mark that occasion with a nice, flourishy fanfare.
Thank you.
But also, I have some pretty big news, which is that the company I work for, Source Interlink Media, which publishes Home Theater Magazine, HomeTheater.com, UltimateAVMag.com, and several other websites, we decided to merge UltimateAVMag.com into HomeTheater.com. So UltimateAVMag, like the old Twit Cottage, is sadly no more.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But, well, really, it isn't no more because
it's merged.
It's merged.
It has merged into HomeTheater.com, and my new title is online editor of HomeTheater.com.
Well, there you go.
So very easy, and I'm going to be spending more time reviewing and writing about real world products. And this is very important because a lot of people are shopping, as we know. Every week we talk about this. People are shopping for plasmas and LCD TVs and speaker systems and AV receivers and all Blu-ray players, all the stuff that we talk about all the time. And I'm going to now be able to spend more time actually reviewing those products that people are shopping for.
Ultimate AV Magazine, in fact, by its name, I guess I should have known this, really was aimed more at the high end.
Correct.
Is this a statement in some ways that people just aren't interested in high end audio
and
video?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, look what happened to the Kuro. We were talking about this last week. Pioneer killed it because it was, in order to make such a good display, they had to make it too expensive.
That's exactly right. Yes, Echo in the chat room says, the $500,000 Panasonic 152 plasma is not a real-world product. Well,
right.
That's true. And likewise, as you say, the Kuro was just too expensive to be successful. So I'm going to be looking at products that are bestsellers on various retailer outlets like Amazon, Best Buy, Crutchfield, Tiger Direct, and seeing if they are worthy of their bestseller status. You know, if everybody's buying them, are they really that good? I'm going to find out, and I'm going to let you know.
Great.
So I think this is an important move, really. And we're also going to be publishing a lot of articles on how to get the most out of what you buy. So we're going to be focused on what to buy, how to shop, how to think about what you really need in your environment. When you get it home, how to set it up and optimize it so you get the very best out of whatever it is you do buy. And also, we're going to continue to publish articles about how all these different technologies work. So if you're confused about Dolby Digital or Dolby DTS Surround and so on and so forth, then you're going to be able to find that information at HomeTheater.com.
Good. I don't think that's a bad change at all. I think it actually reflects how people use their stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We decided we needed to spend more of our resources on that. You know, I'll still publish the occasional high-end thing just because it's really fun and cool. And we're also going to continue to republish things out of the magazine that get published.
There's still a magazine?
There is, believe it or not. There's still a print magazine. We're one of the few left standing.
I think that's a dying breed. I mean, there are magazines around, but
There are. We are one of the few home theater magazines left, and we're doing very well in that regard because we do provide really excellent information. The magazine is really more for enthusiasts, right? People who are serious enthusiasts. The website is going to also have plenty of enthusiast content, but it's also, and maybe perhaps even primarily, for shoppers, people who, and users, shoppers and users is how I like to look at it. That people who are shopping for something, they're not going to go to a magazine to shop. right, to look for what to buy.
I guess because that's true, isn't it? I mean, we like reading magazines, but it's more for entertainment. When you're really down to shopping, you do your research on the web these days.
Online, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And plus the fact that magazines, by their nature, all magazines, you know, are the information is relatively old because you've got to deal with print deadlines and you've got to deal with, mailing and all that kind of stuff. So magazine comes out 2 or 3 months after the content has been written. And the web, of course, is much more immediate. So that's another reason why shoppers go online and enthusiasts read magazines. So, and of course,
well, that's wait a minute. Let me think about that. Shoppers go online, enthusiasts read magazines. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be doing. And
is there a centerfold?
No, there's no. That would be kind of cool. A centerfold of like a super high end, beautiful piece of gear. I hadn't thought of that.
Nowadays, that's what we dream about. Hey, so, Scott also hosts the, as long as we're plugging stuff, the Home Theater Geeks podcast. That's not going to change. In fact, now it's even more aptly named than ever before.
And it is going to change in that I now have a new studio as well.
Oh, nice.
I'm now broadcasting from the studios that I use to review products for hometheater.com because we finally got enough bandwidth. Took a while, but we finally got enough
bandwidth. It's all about the bandwidth, isn't it?
It really is all about the bandwidth. And I'm hoping to work with you to get a high-def camera in there so that...
Oh, yeah. We'll get you everything you need.
That'd be fantastic.
Because we're using a new technology that called video.
Yes. And in fact,
Videocast.
I tested it.
Yeah.
I tested it last week with Chad, and it worked great.
Oh, good.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's high def now. So if you have a high def camera and enough bandwidth, which you will, the quality will be great of that. And although I have to say, I wonder, I have to look at the numbers, how many people watch the Home Theater podcast and how many people listen to it?
Because well,
you can
good
listen
question.
As well.
Sure, of course.
And I think for podcasts, it's like radio. It's you do it in your car, you're not going to be watching.
Exactly. But a lot
and your show is not very visual in the sense that you're talking to people about stuff.
Right.
So you don't. You could listen to it.
You could. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I intend.
Who's on Monday?
On Monday, I have a fellow by the name of Gene Dolgoff, who was on the show about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. And interestingly, I found him because he called your radio show while I was on the air.
Oh, neat.
And it turns out.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah.
He invented LCD projection.
Cool.
So he's very cool. He's a very cool guy. And in fact, he is one of the most requested return guests I've had so far.
Well, here's what you do. You tune in 1:30 tomorrow Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern, live.twit.tv. Or you can download the show. Just go to iTunes and listen.
Right.
Just search for Home Theater Geeks. We have a list of all the ways you can subscribe at our website, twit.tv/HTG. Congratulations. Scott Wilkinson, the new editor. What are you?
Online editor.
Online editor of the Home Theater magazine, hometheater.com. We'll talk again next week, Scott.
You bet. Thanks.
That's a vuvuzela / bagpipe orchestra. If there's any way to make the vuvuzela more annoying, it would be to add a bagpipe. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Remember that from the World Cup last year? Well, I think we have two vuvuzelas. We will be probably playing those as we march to the new studio, which will be very effective in getting people out of the way as we go down the sidewalk. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Back to the phones we go, Janet, San Diego. Hi, Janet. Leo Laporte here.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Good. I have a question about using a phone in another country. I'm about to take a trip to Nepal, and my boyfriend has to be able to keep in touch with work. And we're wondering if you could give us an idea of maybe what type of phone to use, if there's maybe a one-time prepay that would work, and if there's any smartphone options.
Well, I would make one suggestion. Don't take your cordless phone with you.
Okay.
You ever driven off talking on the cordless phone thinking it's a cell phone? And you get 20 feet away, and it goes... Oh, that's the house phone. So here's the deal. And I'm not sure about Nepal, but maybe I know somebody in the chat room who will know is Chris Marquardt, our photo guy, who's going to join us next hour because he goes to Nepal every year. But let me talk in general about phones. In the U.S., we have two technologies that we use on our cell phones. They're CDMA phones. Verizon and Sprint uses CDMA. And AT&T and T-Mobile use GSM. CDMA basically is North America only. So it certainly won't work in Nepal. So if you have a Verizon or Sprint phone, unless you purchase a specific kind of phone from them that's called a world phone, it won't work anywhere. If you have a GSM phone, that is, and you know it's GSM because you have a little SIM card that's your personality that you could take out of the phone and put another phone, that isn't even guaranteed to work because the frequencies vary, but it's much more likely to work. And you should check and see if it supports the GSM frequencies in the countries that you're going to. Then, so if it does, you could just take your phone with you and use it. Now, of course, it's going to cost a lot of money because you'll be roaming internationally. Data will cost a lot. Phone calls will cost a lot. But it has one advantage. If you're only there briefly, your phone number doesn't change, which gives you puts you in a kind of a weird position because sometimes people call and say, "Hey, Janet, how you doing? I'm thinking of coming over later." And you can say, I'm in Nepal right now. I am not in Sandy. I am in Nepal. And this is costing me $1 a second. So bye." But it is it's really nice when you know when I travel and I want the kids to be able to reach me in an emergency or whatever, having that phone is nice. You can call, of course, if you're AT&T or T-Mobile, you can call ahead and say, "I'm going to be traveling. Can you give me an international package?" And they will give you a slightly reduced international package.
What about if we bought a phone in, you know, in another country or in the country? I don't know much about Nepal.
No,
but
that's your other choice. Is getting what they call a burner phone. Now, you can actually buy a phone here. You can buy any unlocked GSM phone with the right frequencies. So make sure it's a quad band unlocked GSM phone. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them anywhere. And then when you get to Nepal, you go to the post office or the phone company, sometimes the tobacconists and train stations. They also have, you just buy the SIM chip. And that'll have a local Nepalese phone number.
Okay.
You pop that into your phone. And now that phone is a Nepalese phone. Local calls are cheap. Now, of course, calling the U.S. on a Nepalese phone either won't work at all, or if it does, it'll cost you a lot of money. But it's great if you and your boyfriend have two unlocked phones and you put the Nepalese chip in it, you can call each other. And that's a local call.
Well, the most important thing we're looking for is for him to be able to contact work, and I think the email would probably be
yes.
more important.
And there are lots of internet cafes in Nepal. So that's what most people do is they go to Nepal. They go to an internet cafe.
Okay.
Or bring Skype with you. You know, if you can get an internet cafe, you can go there and you can use Skype. And that's cheap,
okay.
and you can make long-distance calls. When my daughter lived in France for a year, a couple of years ago, I paid $99 and got unlimited Skype out for her computer. She could call the U.S. She could call her friend's cell phones, and it was free.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll pass the information along. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome, Janet. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Somebody's telling me that Nepal uses the 900 megahertz frequencies in Nepal. So that's GSM 900. That means almost any phone you get from anywhere will work. It's the most common band. Any U.S. GSM phone will work. Remember, though, unlocked. Because if you buy a phone from an AT&T or a T-Mobile, if it says AT&T or T-Mobile on the phone, usually that means you cannot use a foreign SIM card in it. You can only use an AT&T SIM card in an AT&T phone. That's called locked. You can sometimes get it unlocked. In fact, it's not hard to get it unlocked if you bring it to a friendly dealer. But better to get an unlocked phone in the first place, and then you can use any SIM card from any country in it. So enjoy the travels. What fun that is. I guess Chris isn't in the chat room anymore. I'll ask him what he does when he goes to Nepal, because he goes there every year for photo trekking. We'll talk to Chris Marquardt, our photo guy, next hour, as a matter of fact. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our next call, Sonia Sacramento. Hey, Sonia, Leo Laporte.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I woke up and needed to call you as soon as I checked my email and found that somebody has hacked into my email for a second time.
I hate it when that happens. Yahoo Mail?
I've had this email address for 15 years, yeah. And it's got my business name in it, but I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know if I need to get rid of the email or if I need some other security, because if I change email, they're going to do it again.
Yahoo Mail? Is it Yahoo Mail?
It's a SBC Global address that I've had
really?
Forever.
Really? That's not a good sign. Now, the web-based emails tend to get hacked a lot, and I'm not sure why. I suspect what happens. Do you ever go? Is it a laptop?
No, it's a Mac at home, but I do check it from work and other places. And I just got a smartphone 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so you check it on wireless access points?
Just a few times so far.
Okay, so here's one possibility. Unless you tell your email program to use secure sockets or SSL when it's connecting, it will send your login and password flying through the airwaves where anybody can capture it. So you should check on your phone when you set it up with SBC. You should check with SBC and say, do you offer SSL email? If they don't, then your email, you'll never fix it, because anytime you get email wirelessly, any bad guy, it doesn't take many skills, by the way, any bad guy with mediocre skills, a free program they download from the internet, can see your password as it floats by.
Really?
And so they capture it. And the thing is, we never change our email passwords. So all they have to do is get it once, and they can log in as you, and they can see what your mail is.
But they're picking these random email addresses, some of which I haven't emailed in years.
Oh, wait a minute now. Why do you think, I should ask you this, why do you think you've been hacked? Are you getting bounce back email?
I'll get one weird email that looks like some mailer demon thing, and then a group of people will email me, hey, look, I got this weird email telling me to go to their, you know.
Okay, that doesn't mean you've been hacked. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have asked you this question.
Shoot.
You're not hacked.
Sorry.
You're not hacked.
But where are they getting the email addresses, and why is it coming from me?
I'll explain that in a moment, but I have to take a break.
Okay.
Hang on, Sonia. The mystery will be resolved right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I don't feel like there are any bad spirits in that hotel. It just feels very happy. Hey, Dad, my dad's here. Hey, Dad, that's my father, John. Okay, hold on a second. Not yet, I'm on the air. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, hour number two of the Tech Guy Show. 8888-ASK. Leo is the phone number. My dad's here. You've been here before. Not the first time in the Tech Guy Labs, but the first time for the last time, because, of course, this is the last show. We're here for the big move. That's cute. By the way, happy birthday. His birthday's next week. 78 years old. You don't mind if I tell people that. You look like you're 30. Looks better than I do. But it was so cute, because he called up and said, if you need a help with the move, I can carry some stuff. Nothing too heavy, but I can a magazine or something. I'll help you. That's very sweet. I think we got movers. We got movers, right? Yeah, we got movers. Most of the stuff has moved over. The studio is humming. It is beautiful over there. And I can't wait. Now, you might say, well, Leo, it's nice that you have a beautiful studio and all, but it is a radio show. No one will see it. And that's true. Although we do, you know, in fact, this is how the whole thing started, was when I started doing this radio show maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I put up a little webcam on my computer as I was doing the show. A little, you know, probably was black and white, little webcam. So, who would want to watch a guy talk? People watched it. We made podcasts out of it. And it kind of went from there. It kind of grew like Topsy, to the point where we have 6 million downloads a month of 25 different shows, 18 employees. And frankly, they were kind of rebelling because they were all sitting at one table. It's not for me that I'm doing this. It's not even for you that I'm doing this. It's for them, so that they'd finally have a desk of their own. And they're very happy, by the way. But I think that it was that all sitting at the same table, that was a growth experience. That was a bonding. No. Okay. They say no. Anyway, we'll be moving down in a couple of hours, and Dad will help me. He's going to carry a magazine. And I hope you will watch, because we will be streaming that at live.twit.tv on the internet. live.twit, T-W-I-T. That's the name of the podcast network, .tv. Already there are something like 15,000 people watching the stream. So, hey, guys, you're early. There's nothing to see here. We'll be back. Come back in 2 hours, and we'll be moving down. But that's very exciting. So we have a beautiful new studio, and I have a lot of people to thank too. We got I don't even know where to start. Roger Ambrose, who is a Hollywood big shot set designer, a guy I met on the last TV show I did, the Screensavers. He did a beautiful job, and I said, Roger, could you do what you did for Tech TV in that Screensaver set only a lot cheaper? And he said yes. I don't know if it was a lot cheaper, but it sure looks good. And then Brent By, who is our amazing lighting guy, gaffer is what they call him in the business, another Hollywood gaffer from OceanStudio.com. And Brent has lit this thing. It's like a canvas. Like Roger gave him a beautiful canvas, and then Brent painted in the light on it. And it's just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And, of course, my amazing studio team, starting with John Slanina, our studio manager, who's just worked all day and all night for, like, months. And he's happy. He's smiling. I don't get it. Colin Weir, who's our newest streaming engineer. We brought him in from Philadelphia about a month ago. Chad Johnson, also brand new. Brought him in about... Actually, we hired him. We said, we can't hire you till we're in the new studio. It's too crowded here. So why don't you start in April? It hasn't been too bad. Who else? But there's so many people. Burke McQuinn, who's also been stayed up late every night with a soldering iron. Liz, of course, Liz Romero, who's one of our producers. Lynn Fu, another one of our producers. My producer for this show and all the shows I do, Eileen Rivera.
Alex doing TriCaster.
Alex Gumpel, who's an amazing TriCaster guy. The TriCaster is the hardware that we use to switch this show. And we're using a little, what I thought was the high-end TriCaster here. It's a little baby compared to what we're going to be using in the new studio. High def, beautiful thing. And Alex has made himself the wizard of this. Of course, Alex also edits the Tech Guy show for a podcast. And Tony Wang, our editors, Jason Howell, Jeff Stewart. We have some great editors working for us to make the videos that we put out as podcasts. And a lot of great staffers. And, of course, my CEO, the business partner, without whom I have no head for business. I'd still be sitting in this little attic with a spy cam on me if it weren't for Lisa Kensel, my CEO, who really negotiated for the building, ran the project, got it all done. So it all starts in a couple of hours. But I'm not done here. I still have a job to do here. And poor Sonia has been sitting listening to this going, please, can you help me? I'm asking for some help here. Sonia, thank you for your patience. I wanted to mention some people. So you said your email got hacked. And I just want to understand because here's what I think of as hacked. Somebody figured out what your password is in your email, reading your email. Sometimes they change the password. Most of the time they don't, because what they'd like to do is keep reading your email and then they can break into other accounts. Let's say I've got your email account. I'm seeing your email, same as you. You don't even know it. Now I can get into your bank account or your Twitter account or anything else by saying, I forgot my password. Would you email me the password? And he has it emailed to you, and he reads it the same as you do. So that's what I think of as hacked. And that can be devastating, especially if they get into your bank account through that or other accounts.
Wow.
But that's, I don't think, necessarily what happened to you. So you're saying you're seeing bounced back emails, or friends are saying, hey, I got an email for you trying to sell me Viagra.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
And
Don't worry.
And there are a handful of different people, and some I've talked to daily, and some of them I haven't emailed for 2 or 3 years.
It could be a symptom of your address book being hacked. What often happens is when you get on a spam mailing list. Spammers never give the return address on a piece of spam is never real. It's always somebody else on the mailing list. So It's not unusual. For instance, everybody gets this. I call it internet backscatter, where you'll get returned email or bounce back email or even irate email from people saying, stop sending me this Viagra spam. And it goes to you. You didn't send it. It's just that the bad guy used your email address. But I'm a little worried because you said this is like everybody in your contact list is getting this email.
No, it's a small group of people, and it seems to be varying because it happened last weekend and then it just happened this weekend. Some are the same people and some are new people. And it's not everybody.
Does the email in any way refer to you or have any information about you that
No.
It's just a piece of spam.
Yeah, it looks like it's from me, and then it says something. It works fantastic. It's a relationship saver.
Wait a minute, though. It does look like it's from you?
Yeah.
Does it say your name in the email, or just the return address is yours?
The return address.
Okay. But it doesn't say, hi, this is Sonia. Let me tell you about my weight loss secret.
No.
Okay.
It's just my address. And we started getting this at work like a year or two ago where I thought people from work were sending me messages and I'd open it and it was spam. But they catch it with high-tech software, so I don't...
Yeah, right. They're spam blockers. It's hard for me to tell if you've been hacked or if you're just being spoofed. Spoofing means they're merely using your email address as a return address. Now, anybody can do that. If I could figure out, let me ask you this. Your email address, is it like something pretty obvious like sonia@sbcglobal.net? Don't say it out loud if that's it. But is it something simple like that, like your first name?
Very simple, because it had my little business in it when I started a little art.
So if your email address is sonia4372-q@sbcglobal.net, spammers will never use that. But if there's a poor guy named Jim@AOL.com who can never use his email. He can never use his email because spammers use Jim. They don't even know who Jim is, but it's a great return address. So if your return address is not a little bit obscure, if it's like your name, it could just be they're guessing it. And they don't even go after you. They're just using it. I got to get down to the root of this. Hang on. A little more time. Hold on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, the chat room and I have been consulting about your case, Sonia. You are a very difficult case, Sonia. We had to talk. I had to consult with my peers in the chat room. And the consensus is you've been spoofed, but there's a couple of things you could do. Bill in Michigan suggested you look in your sent mail box. Do you know? And see if those messages originated from you. They'll show up in the sent mail box.
No, they're not in there.
They're not in there. That's a good sign. So a couple of things could have happened. You know, if you got malware on your system, you know, a virus on your system, one of the first things viruses started doing was they would get your email contact list and start sending itself out. But it would usually send out a virus, not spam. I think it's likely that your address has been spoofed. Now, you changed your password once. It's probably a good idea to keep changing it.
Okay.
You know, every month change it just to be safe. But if all you ever see is mail that looks like, you know, somebody used your... It's the problem with email is it's inherently not secure. You can spoof anybody's mail address. So I can send you an email that looks like it came from the president. President@whitehouse.gov. And there's no way, unless you look at the headers, that you could really tell. Did the guy at work... Do you have a tech guy at work?
Yeah.
What did he think? Did he look at the headers? Did he have an opinion?
No, I didn't show them.
Well, the same thing happened, though, right?
It did happen like a year ago, so yeah. I could ask them.
You might ask them.
Okay.
What you can do, if you're pretty technical, you can look at the headers. You know, say somebody who got one of these emails that purports to be from you. You can see what the originating server was. And if it's not SBC Global, if it's not your email server, that all they're doing is putting in the from field your name.
Okay.
Anybody could do that. I could do that.
How do they get the addresses, though?
Huh?
How do they get the addresses, though, that if they use mine but they're sending it to my friends, they're getting their addresses somehow?
Well, we don't know it's only your friends.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, SBC Global is Yahoo. Yeah, Yahoo Mail has... This happens a lot to Yahoo Mail. Do you have secret questions if you forget your password?
Oh, gosh, it's been a long time, but I can check.
Yeah, I would change those because that way if you change your password, they could use your secret questions if they knew your answers. A lot of times when people answer those secret questions, you know, they use stuff that's easily guessable.
Great.
So what I always do is, first of all, it's a good idea not to have an email address like leo@aol.com that would just kind of somebody might randomly use. It's a good idea to have a kind of a obscure email address. Secondarily, it's a good idea to have a very obscure password. Now, that just means not a dictionary word. Don't use your cat's name. It's good to mix upper and lowercase letters and numbers and punctuation if you can. I know that makes it harder to remember, but you can use tricks to make it something that you can figure out, like the first letters of a song lyric, for instance. I often use that. Putting in the punctuation and maybe adding then your zip code to the end.
Okay.
Something you can easily kind of recreate, but nobody would ever be able to brute force or guess. And then the final step, if there are secret questions, you look at the password recovery system that your email provider uses. If they allow a person to recover the password simply by answering secret questions, that's not so good. If that's the case, then make sure you don't answer. You know, sometimes the secret question is, what was your high school mascot? Well, don't say your actual high school mascot, because that's, you know, how many different mascots are there? What was your mother's maiden name? That somebody could figure that out. I lie. I say my mother's maiden name was Banana Slug, and my high school mascot is the otter. Or something you'll remember. Bubblegum. And they won't guess it then, and then they won't get into your system.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, these are simple things that you can do. And I don't, if it then continues to happen, I presume you have an antivirus and you scan your system and you do all that stuff, right?
I assume so. Dad sets it all up, so.
Dad, get Dad in there. Say, Dad, you got to check to make sure that there's no bad stuff on my system. Because that's how this can sometimes happen, but usually it doesn't happen like this.
Okay. Yeah, it's a new thing, so.
Yeah. Just, you know, change your password, change your secret answers. You know, if your email address were, let's say, I shouldn't say this out loud, but let's say it were sonia@aol.com. You don't want to be that, because it's, you know, it's the kind of address that a spammer might just type in anyway.
Yeah.
I get spam to so many weird accounts on my server. Like, I get every month several thousand messages to Leo's hair at leoville.com. Spammers just make stuff up.
And they can't catch them, huh?
No, they can't. They can't. I wish they could. They can't. It's a little frustrating, isn't it? We wish we could punish these guys. But for the most part, they're overseas. They're in Eastern Europe. The old Soviet bloc, and they're just,
yeah.
In so many of these cases, the countries that they are originating from don't even have laws against this. So, yeah, spam's not going to go away. Although, people are doing a lot of good work to kill spam. I think it might get better. It's starting to get better. Somebody made GoGlobe.com made an infographic on what happens in 60 seconds, every 60 seconds on the internet. One of them is 168 million emails are sent every minute on the internet. What they don't say is how many of those are spam, but we know it's about 80 or 90% spam. So that means, you know, something like 150 million spam messages are sent. I love this. Actually, this graphic is fantastic. 700,000 search queries a minute. 25 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute. 600 plus new videos. 70 plus domains are registered every minute. Firefox gets downloaded 1,700 times every minute. 100 new LinkedIn accounts. 320 new Twitter accounts. Skype. How about this? Every minute, 370,000 minutes of Skype calls are made. 98,000 tweets a minute. That's pretty amazing. There's a lot on the internet. A lot going on. Not all of it good. But there are things you can do to protect yourself. Having a good password is a very important one. And it's okay to lie on the secret questions. When they ask you your mother's maiden name, you don't have to tell them your actual mother's maiden name. You can make up something. Oh, her name was Orion. So just make up something you'll remember. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. About 8 minutes from now, our photo guy. We haven't heard from him in ages. Chris Marquardt, he's back from his world travels. We've got some pictures to look at, and I'm going to ask him what to do if you're going to Nepal and you want to make phone calls. That's coming up in just a little bit. 8888-ASK-LEO. Or go to the website. All this stuff is there, plus our live video, our chat room, and more. A lot of people in chat today. Over 1,500 people in chat. The website, techguylabs.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and joining us right now, he hasn't been on in ages. I'm so glad to welcome him back. My good buddy, Chris Marquardt, our photo guy. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, it's all my fault. I've been traveling. And
you've been all over the place. Where have you been?
That stuff just keeps me busy. Well, I've been to Nepal. I've been to Berlin. I've been to lots of places, and that just keeps the weekends occupied.
So. Hey, since you do go to Nepal every year, could you just fill me in for our caller last hour? What do you recommend for a phone?
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Nepal has regular GSM service, so you could use any GSM phone that does, I believe, GSM 900, the 900 megahertz frequency.
So she doesn't need to do anything special?
Well, if the phone supports the 900, if it's a world phone, that shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. So she could use her existing phone, although it would be expensive.
Yeah, it would be expensive. And I actually used that on the way up to Mount Everest. Pretty far up, they still have GSM coverage. So that was
Kind of cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yes.
So we have, it's been so long, we have an assignment. I forgot we even made an assignment.
We have an assignment. It's the reduction assignment. And there, again, I picked three pictures to have a quick look at.
So tell us, what was the assignment? Reduction, what does that mean?
Reduction. Well, reduction can be interpreted in so many ways. And if we look at those three pictures, the first one by Violent Freak I didn't choose that.
That's his handle.
Love. And that image, he does reduction by just reducing detail in the picture. So he's using very shallow depth of field. He has something in the foreground. It looked like a lot of locks.
This might be that famous bridge in France.
Maybe,
where lovers put the padlocks on the bridge.
Right. Actually, yeah, you're right.
I think that's what this is. That would be my guess anyway.
So he reduced that detail by simply blurring out the background very shallow, so you can barely make out that one, probably a person in the background there. So that's one way to reduce things, and I like that because it's a very clear way to reduce things. So if you have too much stuff going on in a picture, too much stuff in the background, that is a very good way to do it.
Good. I like that. Violin Freak. That's one way to reduce a picture. What's another way?
The other one is by Lawrence Sayu, called Across the Universe. And
Lawrence, this is beautiful.
He made an abstract picture by leaving the shutter open pretty long, probably a second or longer, while moving or while something was moving past. I guess he was probably moving. So you see lots of lights in the top half. I don't even know what that is in the bottom half.
It's an abstract. You don't need
it's
to know, right?
Abstract. Yeah. But I can clearly tell there are probably some fluorescent lights up there because you can actually see the flicker of the fluorescent light in the streaks of light up there.
That's
the little thing where it goes brighter and darker and brighter and darker.
Neat. Yeah.
So that's another way to reduce. And last but not least, the third one. And I was expecting more black and white pictures because
that's one way to reduce. Yeah, cut out the color.
For me, that's the first way to reduce because color is such a strong thing in an image. And if you take out the color, if you go black and white, you reduce it by a lot of information and you basically reduce it to lines, to shapes, to bright and dark, to contrast.
I like to use black and white when there's a strong geometry in the picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
And here we have a strong geometry. First of all, Anne Crackcraft calls that light reduction, which she did. She basically almost plunged half of that guitar into black, and the rest is just a bit of a guitar. You see some strings that make very strong lines. You see the circular shape of that of that hole and a bit of the shape of the guitar itself, but it's enough to really give you a full picture. You see a guitar, even though you just see like half of a guitar or maybe a portion of a guitar. So that is a very good way to reduce.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Chris, do you want to do another assignment?
Absolutely. I'll be back next week, even though we won't do the assignment within 1 week. I'm kind of digging myself back out of that hole, so I'll be there next week. I'll be in California in August. So
you got to come by. And you know, you said, well, we can't do a photo day. Of course we could do a photo day. We'll figure it out. We'll do a photo morning or an afternoon. We'll figure it out.
Anything, or if I just get to sit in and look at the studio because it's so awesome. I feel very special because first, you remember a couple of years ago, I got to break your TriCaster.
Yes.
And now I'll get to do the very last.
You better not break the TriCaster in the new studio.
No, but let me break Skype for you because I guess this is actually the very last Skype call in the old cottage,
I think it might be the last Skype call we ever make because we're changing from Skype to a new technology called video, VIDYO. That's fantastic. And I'll tell you what. If you take one look, if you're watching the video of Chris Marquardt, I know on the radio you can't tell, but on the video you look terrible. We will be glad to leave this blurry image behind, I can tell you. Yep. You sound great, though. That's the neat thing about Skype. The audio has always been good on Skype, and that's why I use it, because I'm an audio guy. It's a radio show. If you want to know more about Chris, I'll tell you what. He is so cool. He does the greatest photography podcast called Tips from the Top Floor, tfttf.com. He also does workshops all over the world. And I guess if you're coming to the States, that means you're doing some U.S. workshops.
Well, actually, there are a couple more seats open. If anyone wants to join in either in Washington, D.C. or in San Francisco in August, just go to discoverthetopfloor.com. That has all the information about those.
And then, of course, he does these great expeditions. Like, are you going to do Everest Trek every year? Is this like forever now?
Well, we're planning one for next year, and we're planning one for the year after next year, and then we'll see from there.
You are a glutton for low oxygen.
Kind of, yeah.
But amazing pictures. Can I still go to EverestTheTrek.com? Is that still?
It's HimalayanWorkshops.com.
HimalayanWorkshops.com now. You know what? All you really have to remember is chrismarquardt.com, or just, you know, even better, go to techguylabs.com. We've got a link to all of it. And our assignment, this is how it works. Chris is going to give you a word, like reduction was the word last month. This month, he's going to give you a new idea, a new concept that you need to illustrate. We're not going to tell you what it means. You have to figure that out. Take a picture, and then what you need is a Flickr account. Now, if you have a Yahoo account of any kind, you already have a Flickr account, or you could just go, it's free, and sign up, flickr.com, Flickr without an E. .com. And then once you join, you want to go to our special Tech Guy group. So you go to groups and you search for Tech Guy and you'll find it. It's very easy to do. And once you get in our Tech Guy group, you can upload your picture. But do make sure you... Whoops, I'm showing the wrong picture. Thank you. There we go. Do make sure you put in the key. What is the key? What is the word we're looking for today?
The word we're looking for this assignment is, well, the opposite of reduction, busy.
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 Okay, so you're going to take a busy photo and upload it to the Tech Guy group with one picture a week, by the way. And Orbit Gal, our moderator there, will welcome you. The rules are right on the front page there. It's the Tech Guy group on Flickr. It's free to do this. Would love to see your pictures. Busy. Busy, busy, busy.
And my apologies again for taking so long. Next time we'll
be because you're busy.
Well, yeah. Working my way out of that.
We'll see you soon, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us.
Talk to you next week.
ChrisMarquardt.com. Of course, TechGuyLabs.com for details on the assignments and where to find Chris, his podcast, his workshops, and all of that. My number, 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. If you're outside the U.S., like Chris is, he's from Germany, you could Skype. See how well that worked? Just Skype that toll free number and it won't cost you a penny. 8888-ASK-LEO. I am, if this works out, by the way, we may have one more Skype call from the new studio next hour with Dick DiBartolo. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Should be set to ID6.
Where did you find this, Kyle Benham?
Leo Laporte, a call for help. May I help you?
That's the theme song from my old TV show, Call for Help, which I haven't done in a few years. I think that went off the air in 2004 when Comcast bought Tech TV and put it out of business, put it out of its misery. Makes me sad to hear that. But it's a wonderful song. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Kyle, I'm glad you found that. That's fun to hear that again. Sharon on the line from Long Beach, California. Thanks for your patience, Sharon.
Hi.
Leo Laporte.
I wanted to ask you about a device I saw on a commercial on TV called the Dragon. Have you heard of it?
The Dragon. What does it do?
It's supposed to turn your computer into a voice command computer.
Oh, Dragon Naturally Speaking, they're talking about. It's a software. It's good software from Nuance.
Uh-huh.
They may call it the Dragon, but you should. It works, but it's not like it doesn't turn it into HAL 9000 or the computer on Star Trek. If that's what you're looking for, it's not going to talk back to you.
I'm going to get my very first computer next payday, and it would be great if I could get one that just does what I tell it to do.
Yeah, no. That is the dream, of course, Sharon. You would like it. I'm sorry, Sharon. I can't do that. No, the problem is, Sharon, the way this works, what it really is for is if you've got a word processor open and if you've got carpal tunnel and you don't like to type or you're not a very good typist, you can kind of dictate the text.
And it doesn't.
But it's pretty close. I would say it gets 9 out of 10 words right. But the negative of that is that means once every 10 words, you have to stop and fix it.
Uh-oh.
That doesn't sound 90% accuracy rate, or even 95 doesn't sound bad until you realize that means, well, every 10 or 20 words, I got to fix it.
Uh-huh.
And that's about as good as they've gotten. They really aren't perfect. You get trained as much as the computer gets trained because you have to learn to speak precisely and clearly, not necessarily slowly, but you can't slur your speech because the computer has a hard time understanding, frankly. So I wouldn't rush out and get Dragon. Now, let me ask you, because I think I might want to tell you not to get a computer, Sharon, and instead get an iPad. Have you thought about that?
No.
What do you want to do with your computer?
Well, it's hard to communicate with the world.
You want to do email. You're right. Of course. You can't surf. You know, somebody says, hey, come to our website. You can't.
Right.
I think for a lot of people, a computer is more complex than they need. You're telling me by saying, I want to talk to my computer, what you're really saying is, please, can I have something that I can understand, that's easy to use, that understands me and does what I want it to do?
Uh-huh.
Well, good. I agree. That's exactly what you deserve. It ain't what you're going to get if you go out and buy a Windows PC. It's a lot of work. Unfortunately, the computer industry has sold us a bill of goods. They've said, oh, no, anybody could use a computer. It's easy. Yeah, uh-huh. And anybody can play a Tchaikovsky piano concerto just when they sit down at the piano. It's not easy. You have to spend some time learning it. Things go wrong, and then you're at sea. On the other hand, an iPad is very straightforward. It's inexpensive. Not hard to use. If you get one that has 3G in it, which is about $629, then you're always online everywhere you go, and you don't have to buy internet access at home. Save you some money.
All right.
Yeah. And you get email, you get surfing, you get all the things you want to do, and it's much simpler. Now, it's not great for typing novels. If what you want to do is write a novel or edit video or, you know, but you're not going to write a novel, right? You just want to send out short emails.
Right.
I think an iPad is the right answer for you.
All right. I'll check those.
It'll save you some money, too. And do me a favor. Look at them at least before you buy a computer.
Right, I will.
Sometimes you'll get geeks, people like me, who say, oh, no, you need a full computer. An iPad is not a real computer. You can't do everything you need to do with an iPad. Don't listen to those geeks because, you know, they're like the guy who already knows how to play the Tchaikovsky piano concerto. And it's come so naturally to them, they don't realize how hard it is for normal people.
Right.
And I think iPad is a great first computer. It's a computer. Don't think it's not a computer. It's just simpler. There's no security issues. You know, you can't talk to it. Actually, they have Dragon on it, so you can dictate to it. But it's not really, you know, you can't talk to a real computer either. It would be nice if you said, computer, turn on. Yes. Please write a letter for me. Yes. Uh-huh. Send it to my mom. Yes. No, they don't do that. They don't do
Maybe
that.
Someday they'll have all that.
Someday, HAL 9000. But you know what happened in 2001? He stranded the guys. He killed them. I don't know. Do you really want a computer that smart? I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. Bye-bye, Dave. It's been nice working with you. I'm not sure we really want that. Julian is in Los Angeles, our next caller. Hi, Julian. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. First of all, congratulations on getting your ticket. That's awesome.
Oh, I'm a ham! Yes. Officially. I'm so excited. I got my first radio. It's a Kenwood Handy Talkie. Now I just have to figure out what the heck to do with it.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun part.
Is, you know, it's funny because I've been here. I've been a tech guy for 20 years, digital technology, understand it well. Radio guy for 35 years. This ham stuff's the most complicated thing I've ever seen. You really have to get a mentor and spend a lot of time learning and working. You know, getting the license is the easy part.
Yes.
What's your call sign?
N1CA.
Nice to meet you, N1CA. Cool. N1CA?
Yes.
Where is that from?
That's actually in the New England region, but I got that as a vanity call sign.
I was going to say, I've never heard that one before. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Well,
what can I do for you, Julian?
Okay, I had a question about MVNOs.
Yes. Mobile virtual network operators.
Yes. I've been looking at options currently with T-Mobile, and I'm not happy with some of the latest things they've been doing. In my opinion, taking a few steps back. Now, when you change your plans, they want you to sign a contract.
Before, I know.
Trying to be AT&T.
So the idea of an MVNO is they're resellers of mobile connectivity. So they go to AT&T or Verizon, sometimes Sprint, and they say, we're going to make a deal with you, and then we're going to rebrand it. Walt Disney. Disney is an MVNO. Virgin Mobile, an MVNO. Boost. A lot of these, I think Boost is an MVNO. A lot of these guys resell services from other cell companies. But you deal with them instead of Sprint, AT&T, or Verizon, and a lot of times they're nicer and easier to deal with. You have one in mind?
I'm looking at several, but my main question about that is that I've heard one of the drawbacks to an MVNO is that if you're a customer of theirs, that you don't get the same priority on the network, and I'm wondering if there's any truth to that.
I don't know. That's a good question. For data, you mean? That may be the case.
Calling, etc. I know that you don't get all the features. For example, like conference calling, three-way calling, that sort of thing. Some of them won't give you things like that.
Yeah, and that's not their fault. They'd love to give you that, but that's probably their deal with Sprint. Sprint says, well, we're not going to let you undercut us in price and offer the same features.
Right.
I don't know. That's a great question. I've not heard that MVNOs might not have the same access to the network as the parent network. I would guess it's similar. But I don't know. Maybe somebody in the chat room can help me with that. Virgin and Boost are now almost entirely owned by Sprint.
Yes.
So they're MVNOs in name only. Let me do some research, Julian. We'll talk about it when we come back. How about that? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, a good day to you. Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. And it's the last hour of the Tech Guy Show from the old Tech Guy Labs. You're going to shut her down 60 minutes from now and make the move down the street to the new Tech Guy Labs, the new Brick House Studios. They are beautiful. And they are ready and they are waiting. We've got a big ribbon across the door, giant pair of scissors, and I'm ready to cut that ribbon. Meanwhile, I'm here to help. If you've got a question, a comment, a suggestion, you want to talk about digital technologies, that's what I do. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. And that's not, by the way, nothing's going to change from your point of view. The website's still techguylabs.com. The phone number's still 8888 Ask Leo. We'll still be on the same great radio stations all across this great land of ours. I'll even sound the same. And I'll still be sitting on a ball. In fact, this desk and this microphone are coming with me. So really, not much is going to change. One of the things that's fun, though, we are building an AM radio corner. You know, I recently, as we were talking about last hour, I recently got my my ham license. I became an official ham. And in fact, we were talking to Julian about it. And so we're setting up a ham shack there with the help of my Elmers. That's what they... I thought it was elders, but no, it's Elmers. That's what they call the senior hams who help out the newbies like me. There's a whole structure around this, which is great. We need this in the computer world. So I have a couple of Elmers who happen to be very well-known hams. Bob Heil, the guy who makes my microphones, K-9-E-I-D, and Gordo, a very well-known ham, Gordon West, who teaches, he taught me, he's taught thousands of people how to become hams at W5YI.org. That's where you can get all his materials. And he is, he's a, what is he, WB6NOA. So Gordo and Bob are helping me set up a beautiful ham shack. We're going to put antennas on the roof of the new Brick House Labs. But then Bob said, you know, I know this guy, Mike Doro. He's very well known. He makes meters, very, very, very well known, beautiful meters that are used in recording studios, ham shacks, all over the world. Very accurate meters. I'm going to get some of these great Doro meters. I can't wait. But his hobby is collecting AM radio gear. He goes around the country as stations upgrade or shut down and says, yeah, you're going to use that old transmitter? And they say, no, you take it off our hands? Yes, I'd like to. So I've arranged with Mike Doro to get a classic. It looks like it's about a 1962 AM transmitter, a Collins. Beautiful. Big window in the front where you could see these giant tubes. The glow, the filaments glow as the transmitter's on. And then an old AM console from the 60s. And I'm looking for turntables, tape decks. We're going to make an old radio station in there. Now, of course, I don't have an FCC license to broadcast radio. I only have an amateur radio license. So it'll be an amateur set. But it should be fun. I'm calling it Radio Corner. It's a little bit of a museum of analog radio broadcasting over there. That's going to be fun. Anyway, we were talking to Julian about MVNOs, mobile network virtual operators. They're people who basically resell cell service. Nobody has said anything to me in the chat room, and I don't have any information about whether MVNOs give you a lower priority on the cell network. I would bet FCC rules do not allow that. I would bet you're protected as a consumer from that. And if they did that, they would have to print that in pretty big letters.
Well, it's hard to say. You know, the companies have managed to change the definition of the word unlimited.
No kidding. I mean, I don't blame you for not trusting wireless companies. These guys are the most predatory companies out there today. They've inherited all of the bad habits of the AT&T monopoly. You know.
Yeah, they're basically the AT&T of this era.
Yeah. There may be limited roaming because you're not guaranteed roaming agreements with other carriers, so that's possible. An MVNO might not be a good choice if you move around the country a lot.
Uh-huh.
But if you're in the same area and they've got good coverage where you are, you can save a lot of money with an MVNO. It's kind of like the off-brand. It's like going and buying a generic in the grocery store. Often, you know, a generic is exactly the same product as made in the same factory as the brand name. And I think that's the case with MVNOs. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. Who are you considering?
One of them I was looking at, although I read some things that weren't so favorable, was the one that uses T-Mobile. I think it's called My Simple Wireless.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Or Simple Mobile or something like that. They seem to have a pretty good deal.
I think the net is your friend in this case. Reading reviews from other people is really that's where the internet just shines. We no longer have to be. In the old days, a consumer was on his own. You know, and you just had to do the best you could. But nowadays, we're all together. It's a very much of a changed landscape for companies that don't give you good service. The world finds out. People tweet about it. They blog about it. They review it on forums. All you have to do is Google a company, and you'll find every single disgruntled customer there is. I like T-Mobile. I use T-Mobile, actually. And so I think if T-Mobile works well where you are, it's often a good choice because it's not the high price spread. Now, there's going to be an issue because AT&T is acquiring T-Mobile, and it looks like AT&T has sewn up Congress. AT&T doubled its lobbying efforts last quarter, doubling the amount of money they spent on lobbying, millions of dollars on lobbying to get this deal through. Because, of course, it is a monopolistic deal. It takes us from 4 cell phone companies down to 3, and one of them's pretty weak, Sprint. It really gives us 2 big, let's face it, duopolies. So I'm not a fan at all of the T-Mobile acquisition, and it might probably certainly will affect this MVNO deal, right?
I would imagine it would.
I mean, it's probably a year before this happens, but something
right,
to consider.
Which is one of the reasons why I'm not really thrilled about the possibility of signing a contract with T-Mobile, because I would imagine that
right.
I'll be beholden to AT&T, and I left AT&T to go to T-Mobile because I hated
it. Yeah, I love T-Mobile. I'm devastated. T-Mobile is great because nobody uses it.
I know. It works really nice. Especially here in California, right. The audio on it is just
it's
superb.
Great. And the data, I never have a problem with data because unlike the iPhone, which everybody on AT&T is sucking so much data because of the iPhone, you can never use it.
Yeah, I'm using the iPhone on T-Mobile and it works great.
And I love a company, and I think that this is really this is where losing T-Mobile is going to hurt you. If we only have 2 or 2.5 wireless companies, you think we're going to change this contract situation, this 2-year contract, the early termination fees? You think we're going to get the SMS text messaging costs down to a reasonable amount? No. No. And so I think these MVNOs and T-Mobile and having some diversity in the marketplace is great. MVNOs generally don't require a contract. They're usually month to month. I feel really bad about this. I don't know enough about this company to tell you yes or no on it. The good news is it is month to month, right?
Yes.
So at least if it stinks, you can move on.
Yeah.
And I think we should all go to fightthemerger.com and let our members of Congress know that we don't think this is a good idea, that we do need choice in cell phone companies.
I agree. I'll be visiting that site.
Thanks, Julian. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's
all right.
I just saw the number. It's an appalling number. The amount of money that AT&T spends lobbying members of Congress, they spent 58% more in the second quarter. Why do you think? Because they want this deal to go through. $4.9 million on lobbyists in 3 months. It's amazing. It's sad. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. I'm not sure.
So long, farewell, Alfie, just saying goodbye.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And we're saying goodbye to the Tech Guy Labs. 40 minutes from now, the countdown to the brick house. 8888 Ask Leo, though. I don't want to make too big a deal about this because it isn't going to seem like a change to anybody listening at home. It's just to me that it's a change. So I won't be too selfish about this. Angie on the line from Pomona, California. Hi, Angie. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo.
Welcome to the show.
Well, my husband is finally going to let me get the high-speed internet. We've been on that dial-up for like years.
Well, it's about time the husband gave you a break.
So I got me a new computer, a little notebook. So I went to a DSL Extreme, and they said that I needed a promo code. Well, I've been listening for 2 days.
You don't
now.
Need a promo code. Just tell them I heard it on Leo. There's no promo code.
I mean, I'm like, okay, Leo, give me the promo code. I don't hear no promo code.
There's no promo code. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, I have to say it's unfortunate. DSL Extreme offshored their support to the Philippines.
Oh, is that where I'm calling?
Yeah, now? And I don't know where they got these guys, but they don't seem to know anything.
Well, she said that I needed a promo code so I can get the second month free. And that
I don't know I don't know what they're talking about. This breaks my heart because this used to be a great company. I have to say, the service, the product is great. But Angie, would you send me an email and I will make sure that I send it to George at DSL Extreme and he'll handle this personally.
Because they said that I have to pay $14.95 for shipping and handling. And $2.77 for tax, so it's not going to cost me $14.95. It's going to cost me $17.83 a month.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, what happened to my $14.95?
Yeah, good question.
because I'm on like a limited budget here now.
I don't blame you. Now I got to tell you, that's you know, even that deal after a year gets more expensive. That's a promo deal for the first year. Internet access is not as cheap as it should be. It breaks my heart. And I realize that DSL Extreme is in this position of as kind of as a reseller. The company that owns the copper wire into your home is your phone company.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's Verizon, AT&T, whoever your phone company is.
Right.
And the FCC has required that these phone companies allow independent internet service providers to piggyback on the copper. But the phone company doesn't like it too much, do they? Because they're also internet service providers. They want to sell you their service.
Right.
So they make it so difficult for companies like DSL Extreme to survive. They've really squeezed these guys. And it's not good because, frankly, we need the competition.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the deal is. The DSL Extreme folks give you the best deal that they can, but I think in some cases they're losing money because they have to buy access from the phone company.
Oh, I see. So maybe that's why I'm paying more then.
Yeah, the phone company really wants you to get to use their service. Who's your phone company?
Verizon.
Yeah. I think Verizon's particularly notorious on this. So Verizon...
Right. They want like $35.
Yeah! Surprise, surprise, surprise. So how do you think they feel about a company like DSL Extreme using their copper to sell you half-priced internet access?
Well, if they would, you know, give me that price, I would be
there. They'd love to, but the Verizon folks are not making it easy, are they?
So
that's the real problem, is that you've got these kind of natural enemies having to work together.
Because when my husband said, okay, go for it, I've been bugging him for like 4 years. I said, I want high speed, because it takes me like 2 hours just to do
Oh, you need high speed. You really do to kind of be part of the modern world. But unfortunately, I mean, look it. $18 a month is cheap, and I got to tell you, it's going to go up to $25 or more in a year. It's only for the first year. It really, I mean, it's going to cost you more, like, you know, in the long run, more like what Verizon wants, because Verizon ultimately controls that copper. I know, it's terrible.
I know.
It's terrible. You might try calling around. I don't think anybody's going to be able to beat the I know nobody's going to be able to beat the DSL Extreme price, but you try calling around. Maybe they can. I feel for you, Angie. I think everybody should get free internet access, but unfortunately that isn't going to happen. So,
well, I don't mind paying a little bit, because I mean I only use it maybe like once a week. I just go on there to look at my stuff, and you know, and I'm
done. I feel for you. You deserve better.
You know?
Yeah.
So I just wanted the cheapest possible.
Yeah. I think that is, no matter what, even if it's $17.95, that's the least expensive high-speed internet you can get anywhere. I can't guarantee it because I don't know your particular area, but I could almost positively bet there's nothing better. And right. That's because Verizon doesn't want anything better. They want to charge you $35.
But why are they charging me $15? Well, no. $17 for shipping and handling. Come on.
They're trying to make a living. I agree. They probably should be more upfront.
Oh, well. All right.
I'm sorry, Angie.
So there is no promo code. So when
But that's what makes me mad. They do. I mean, there isn't. You should just get that deal.
Because
they shouldn't be asking you for promo code. So, Angie, email me. Use your dial-up and email leo@leoville.com. Actually, send it to the radio show address, because my sister will make sure I see it. Because sometimes email gets by me on the other address. leo@techguylabs.com. My sister Eva, she grabs my ear and she says, hey, make sure you answer Angie. And I'll make sure that your email goes right to George and that he handles it for you.
techguylabs.com.
Thank you, Angie.
Because it's going to take me a few hours, you know that, because I got that dial-up. It is so... I got a bullseye I got to worry about.
Oh, Angie, I feel for you. You know, and what's sad is these same companies, Verizon is notorious, are trying to kill municipal internet. Many cities want to offer free wireless internet to their residents or very low cost. Philadelphia did it, home of Comcast Corporation. And they were very famous. Free municipal Wi-Fi everywhere in Philadelphia. Get your Wi-Fi here. They got shut down. Comcast and Verizon went to the state legislature and said, this is a bad idea, isn't it? Yes, sir, it's a bad idea. You really shouldn't have cities offering free internet, should you? No, sir, that's a terrible idea. Yeah, that's not the American way. It's undercutting our business. Oh, yes, we'll make a law right away. So what you see in many states is it's illegal for a city to offer municipal Wi-Fi. It's illegal. It's against the law.
We wouldn't want to undercut the fine people at Verizon and Comcast now, would we?
Yeah, I would like to undercut them. Thank you very much. I'd love to undercut them. 8888 Ask Leo. Jay in Providence, North Carolina. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Leo. I'm going this week to test out a couple of computers in the store.
Let me help you buy, but I got to take a break, and when we come back, okay?
Sure.
We'll help you go shopping. I love to spend people's money. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. There goes another sponsor. Stream. We were talking about Morse code. You know, Morse code is not as obsolete as it might sound, because there are times when, you know, you need something that can work even in adverse conditions. One of the things ham radio, amateur radio operators do is, when Katrina happened, they were the only way people could get news out of New Orleans or get information or get help. When the tornadoes happen in Alabama, hams are right there. And it's often the case that you need to use dots and dashes, not voice, because the conditions are so adverse. So the FCC doesn't require hams to learn Morse code. I didn't have to learn Morse code to get my technician license. But it's and that's good, because it means it's easier to become a ham. But I have to say, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to learn. And I'm having fun learning it. And there are a lot of advantages to learning. So we're talking about dots and dashes and the dits and das. Apparently, now, see, the program that I'm using to teach me this, the guy said, no, you never get very fast if you think of it as dots and dashes. You have to think of it as sound. It's like a language. You have to hear the musical sound of the dots and dashes and internalize those and as if you're learning a new language. And then you can be, you know, 5, 10, 20 words per minute. But you'll never get to 20 words per minute if you're hearing dot, 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 dash, dash, dash. It's just, you can't learn it that way. What's funny, W4FT in the chat room is telling me this, ever since the FCC dropped the code requirement, code's become more popular. People are funny that way. If you want to get people using tube amps, start making digital amps. You want to get people to play vinyl records, start making CDs. There's always somebody who says, no, I like it the old way. The old way's the best way. So Jay was on the line for Providence, North Carolina. I love spending people's money. Jay wants to buy a new computer, right, Jay?
Yes, indeed. And I can tell you what websites and things that I usually use, if you like, in terms of what I would hope to go on there and just test out on the computers in the stores.
You know, I don't think really testing a computer on a website is going to tell you much. I mean, all computers should be able to render all websites. It's really more the software than it is the hardware that does that. And any Windows or Mac computer is going to be able to render any website.
Okay, so is there...
it's not like... I think you're thinking like we did it in the old days with when you go to buy a stereo, you'd bring the 1812 Overture to play, right? I want to hear those cannons on those speakers. There isn't really a way to... I mean, it's an interesting concept to go in and test a computer before you buy it. I don't think that really happens these days. For instance, something you don't control is the speed of the internet in that store. That's not the same speed you're going to get at home. It could be faster, it could be slower, you don't control it.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I'm wondering, I gather that there's not really any kind of universal thing, unless, would you count speed test and ping test as...
What do you want to test?
Well, what I like to do, what I'm hoping to do, and I don't do this right now on the present computer because it's a rag, but I'm hoping that I can run 4 different websites at the same time, just kind of have one off in 4 different corners. just have them kind of shrunk down, and I also want to listen to an audio stream at the same time, if possible.
Any modern computer should do that, no problem.
Oh, okay.
You want to get an i5-based Intel processor.
Okay.
You want to get 4 gigs of RAM. That's one thing that could limit what, you know, this kind of thing is, the amount of memory. So, but 4 gigs is plenty to do this. If you're using a modern browser, my recommendation would be Chrome. That's the Google browser. 4 web pages at the same time, no big deal at all. And music playback isn't that challenging either. What do you use to play back music?
Well, I can't think of the exact graphics card. I could give you the website.
No, but I mean, what software do you use?
Oh, actually, just whatever came with it. It's
so you use Windows Media Player or something?
Yeah.
What you just described is not demanding. You know, you want to know what demanding is playing a first-person shooter game, those 3D games where you're running around shooting at aliens, because every single frame of those, and you've got to get 30 or 40 frames every second, has to be generated independently by the computer. They're drawing 3D real-time graphics. Now, that's challenging. And often, as they're doing that, they're playing 5.1 or 7.1 surround sound. Those things are challenging. 4 web screens and a song in the background? Any computer should handle that.
In fact, I'm glad that you mentioned when I try to watch you live, I can usually...
Oh, flash. Now, that's challenging. So when we're doing live video, you're watching live.twit.tv. That's a flash player. But I'll tell you why that's challenging, because Adobe wrote a junky piece of software. Flash is notoriously piggy. It uses a lot of resources. So that's actually a pretty good test. That would be my recommendation, in fact, is to go to a Flash site. Get 4 YouTube videos playing. If that computer can handle that, you're set.
Yeah, I'm thinking that I might have to sink a few grand to play 4 of
them. No. Any $800 or $900 computer is going to be fine for you.
Okay.
Used to be the computer you wanted was $2,500, like the Dream Machine, and that's changed so much over the last few years. The PC industry has just taken a bath. Basically, all of the profits have been wrung out of these PCs as consumers have demanded cheaper and cheaper and cheaper computers. That $2,500 computer of, let's say, 2004 is now $1,000. You should be able to get a great computer for $1,000, no problem.
Great news for sure.
Jay, enjoy your shopping spree. Yeah, you don't have to spend as much. Now you're going to say, well, I see that the Best Buy here has a $300 computer. Don't buy that computer. Those loss leaders, the ones that get you in the store with $299.95. Yeah, it's $299.95, but it's going to be cheesy. It's going to have poor components. It's going to be missing stuff. It's not worth it. The funny thing is, the less experienced you are with computing, the more you should be spending on your computer. Because the cheap computers are just, you're buying a bundle of trouble. So spend a little money. Don't be such a cheapskate. $800, that's good. $900, that's good. You should be able to get a great Windows PC for that. If you're buying a Mac, double it. $1,200, $1,300 if you're buying a Mac. Because they still make money. Ron on the line from Los Angeles. Hey, Ron, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, great show as always.
Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate everything you do. Learned so much just sitting on hold and listening to you today. It was fun hearing you talk about Bob Heil, too. I had the pleasure to talk to Bob about a year ago when I bought one of his microphones. And such a great, helpful guy.
Isn't he the best? He is a true gentleman.
I mean, I'm like nothing compared to the scale of his business. You know, I'm just one guy buying one of his microphones. The one that you use, I think, the PR-40.
The Heil PR-40, the best microphone in the world. And he charges like $329 for it. It's amazing.
So I bought it used, and it had some problems. And I mean, here I was on the phone with the guy that
makes them.
Exactly.
You know why? It's because he's from Missouri. Nice people there.
There you go. So the reason for my call today is I have a small business. It's a one-man show. And because I don't have any administrative support staff, I run the whole thing from my Android phone. I use an Evo. And most of my new business calls wind up going to voicemail.
Yeah.
And
that's not good, is it?
It's not good. And it surprises me. I've looked in the Android marketplace looking for an app that kind of enhances the voicemail tracking capabilities, because, you know, you pull up the voicemail list and there is the number that called you and the time that it called and the digital version of the voicemail message left. And I think it would be great if there was something where I could then add notes and other information.
What a great idea.
Exactly.
Grasshopper.com.
Grasshopper?
Yes. Yes, Grasshopper. It is a digital voicemail system, kind of virtual PBX. We use it. Love it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're making the move to the Brick Twin House in just a bit. About 10 minutes from right now. But I cannot end this show from the old Twit Cottage without my good friend and Ink Pot Award winner, Dick DiBartolo. He's Mad Magazine's Leo. Maddest writer for 40 years. Our Giz Whiz, and he's joining us now. Where are you? That's a beautiful...
Oh, you know what, Leo? At Disneyland, I was so jealous that you had this great new studio, and you built a replica of your office in the new Twit Cottage,
yeah,
in the new Twit Brick House.
Yeah.
So, Leo, I did this in Disneyland. Look at that.
Well, that's pretty nice.
It's green screen, but it looks real, doesn't it? No, I'm three blocks away. That's
right. Yes, he's down the street. This is exciting. Dick is already at the new studio. We let him go in early and use it so we could do our regular Daily Gizwiz hit. Dick and I do a gadget podcast called the Weekly Daily Gizwiz, which we're going to do from the new studios in a few hours. But I thought I'd get you in here, as always, on the radio show to tell us about your favorite gadget of the week, Dickie D.
Okay, well, this is a nifty little guy. Now, I don't know if you've seen this or you can even guess what it is.
It looks like a very tiny refrigerator. A mouse. It's a mouse refrigerator.
You're so good at this. Okay, it's something we saw at CES like 5 years ago when everybody said, ooh, ooh. Leo, this is the laser keyboard. So you pair this up with your iPod or your iTouch or your Android phone, and then it projects a keyboard. It's very bright in here, but you can maybe just see. It projects a keyboard on your desk or on the airplane on your tray table, and it's connected via Bluetooth. And 5 years ago, anytime you went to hit one key, it would type all the letters that your fingers would pass over. It was a mess. But now it really works well.
Really? Because, I played with it at CES maybe like 2 years ago. And I thought it was kind of silly. It's weird typing on a tablecloth.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, on an airplane, if you want to type on your Android phone, you know, the guy's so little, and you can vary the size of the image by moving it back or forward. But I paired it with my Android phone, and last night we were playing with it here at the Brick House, and it really works well. Well, you know, I'm going to bring it to the Weekly Daily Gizwiz, and you could try it on your iPhone, see what you think of it. $169 and change, and it's ThinkGeek sent it over.
Well, this is cool. And before we if you want to know more about this, gizwiz.biz is Dick's site, and of course that's where you can play the What the Heck Is It contest. But I said something at the beginning I think we ought to mention. You were at Comic-Con, you just came up from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
The big comic convention in San Diego every year, and you won their Inkpot Award this year.
Yeah, and what made it really great was that I had read in the papers that Steve, I'm blacking out his name now. I'm so excited.
Spielberg. Steven Spielberg. You mean the director? Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Steve. We call him Steve. We're good friends.
I call him Steve. But yeah, he's Steve. Well, I got one too. So what's the big deal? He was going to be awarded one on Friday. They had to tell him so he would go to the Comic-Con. And out of the blue, early this year, the Comic-Con said, would you like to come this year as our guest? And I didn't think anything about it. I was doing a mad show. But before the mad show, they said, Dick, we have a real surprise for you. You're getting your own.
Oh, look at that. Award. What a beautiful award that is.
Yeah. You know, it is an old.
It's an old inkwell with a fountain pen, but it's kind of looks like a witch with her broom.
Yeah, it does. It does. And then when I went on the web and saw Ray Bradbury and Mel Blanc, I thought, God, these people lowered their standards. I'm thrilled to have one.
Well, congratulations, Dick. You deserve it. Now, don't go anywhere. Stay there because I'm coming to you.
No, I want to walk up. Can I walk up and walk down?
You can walk up and walk down. It's only two blocks away. In fact, the cameras are arriving at the cottage as we speak. We're going to make the big move in just a few minutes. So come on down, Dick DiBartolo. We'll
see you in a minute. Okay, I'll be there.
All right. All right, let's see. We'll get a couple more calls in here before I wrap this puppy up. Dan is on the line from Boston. Hey, Dan, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Long-time fan since the Screensaver days and regular in the chat room. Congratulations.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. What's your chat room handle?
MonkeyDKS.
MonkeyDKS. You said that so quickly, I thought you said something else. MonkeyDKS.
Yes, yes.
Say it more slowly next time. Enunciate, or we're going to have to push the dump button. What can I do for you, Monkey DKS?
Well, my sister-in-law is going to college next year, and I'm putting ESET and Carbonite on her laptop.
Good man.
I'm looking for some anti-theft or loss recovery software as well.
Yeah, you know, there's LoJack for laptops. Is it a Mac or a PC?
We haven't decided yet.
Yeah. On the Mac, Orbicule makes a great product. Orbicule. On the PC, I think LoJack is it. But both of these work kind of the same way. They run on your system kind of hidden, so the bad guy can't see them. And because all systems now, all laptops have Wi-Fi, it's great because they just sit there, and at any time that you get on a Wi-Fi access spot, they take a picture of the bad guy and they upload it so that you have pictures of the person who stole your computer. It'll tell you where it is. Gives you all sorts of great information. So LoJack on Windows is a great choice. And on the Mac, I think Orbicule is even more cool. It does some really interesting things. You know, it's not called Orbicule. Let me go to the Orbicule website and I'll tell you the name of it. Undercover. That's right. Undercover.
Okay.
Highly recommended. A great little piece of software. You're gonna like it. And then LoJack, you know, it's not made by the LoJack company, but they licensed the name. Because it's the same idea, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. There's some other suggestions if you're in the chat room. Prey Project. I haven't seen that one. I love the name, though. Prey Project. This is also for Windows. Actually, this sounds really good. Windows, Mac, Linux, and Android. Wow. So that's another good choice. Prey, Prey, project.com. Okay?
Great. Can't wait for the parade.
Thank you, Monkey. See you in a bit.
All right. See you later.
We got the camera in here. We're getting ready to stream that live. Brent Bye on the camera. In just a moment, we're gonna take a hike down the walk. Say goodbye to the old Twit Cottage. I've been here since 2004. 7 years in the Twit Cottage. It's been a great place to work, to do this show, and to build a company. Unfortunately, the company got a little too big for this little old cottage, 1,800 square feet, 18 employees. Do the math. Each of them has a 10 by 10 foot square for everything, including the bathroom. So it was time. We had to expand just a little bit. We're going to move down the road just a couple of blocks to a beautiful spot. It's called the Brick. We built it ourselves from scratch, the Brick House Studios. And I think you'll see it's just, well, it's a cathedral to tech broadcasting. And I'm very glad I get to hold high services there. So if you are listening at home, I thank you for joining me for the radio show. I invite you to visit the website, techguylabs.com. And I will come back next week. We'll talk some more. And if you'd like to watch our continued coverage of the move down the street, we have our live cameras in position. And we will have our little mini parade and our first show in about an hour. You can watch it all at live.twit.tv. For the last time, signing off from the Twit Cottage, I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy.